Come on, let's give God a good hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, why don't we rejoice a little bit what God's doing in Hot Springs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for a moving of your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we are so delighted to be here tonight with you. And man, I pulled up on the lot and I thought, my Lord, that church is bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And then I come inside and it's really bigger than what I thought it was going to be. And I say congratulations to your good pastor and his family and this wonderful church. Amen. This is absolutely beautiful. Thank God for the way he has blessed you people. Amen. We rejoice with you. I know there's a lot of work and a lot of money put into this. Amen. We just rejoice with you. And man, I'm excited. I'll tell you what I'm really, really excited about. I'm excited about the new souls that's going to be set free in Hot Springs. The drug addicts that's going to have the chains to fall off. The marriages that's going to be put back together and restored. Woo! Man, brand new people filled with the Holy Ghost. My, 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 my. I can feel the Holy Ghost in this building. Amen. We may have changed building, but the atmosphere is still the same. Amen, amen, amen. Good to have my wife with me tonight. Love her. Amen. I love your good man of God and his wife and their family. Give honor to all of them, all the ministers in the house. Give you honor tonight. Amen. I'm glad for what God is doing. I've got to tell this before I begin tonight. Those of you that come up for prayer, let me tell you something. Don't ever underestimate, amen, the power of God when you obey the scripture and you have your good pastor to anoint you with oil and pray over you. I'm telling you, God's still a healer. Amen. Amen. A few years back, we started a church in Conway, and God worked a miracle and gave us a building. And a young man that was raised in that church, Brother Tim Robinson, he had backslid for over 25 years. And he showed up at my door one day. Long story short, I talked to him. And him and his wife come to church, and God refilled Brother Tim with the power of the Holy Ghost after 25 years of roaming around this world. Well, he lives close to our church in Conway, and he got sick, Brother Moats. He's already a real bad diabetic, and he got sick. And he went and got tested, and they'd done the test. And they said, man, you've got cirrhosis of the liver in a very bad way. And you're going to need a liver transplant. And, brother, it looked bad for Brother Tim. And, man, he went to crying to God and asking people to pray. And I'm kind of in and out. And I've been preaching out a lot. And so that Thursday night, I was in, and so I was over in Conway with them. And so when they started praying for the sick, they handed me the bottle of oil, and Brother Tim come forward, and we just done just like your pastor did tonight. We anointed him with oil, amen. And he went back for a checkup about 2 days later, and they said, "Something's wrong. We can't find anything at all wrong with your liver." And God completely healed him of cirrhosis of the liver. Hallelujah. And it's been a miracle, and it didn't stop there. Amen. About 2 weeks later, amen, he was in the prayer line, and God healed him of diabetes. Completely healed him. Brother, I'm telling you, we're serving a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. And people wonder why we act like we act. We got something to get excited about. We got something to shout about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I'm honored to be here, Brother Motes. Let me get into the word of the Lord tonight. He texted me, asked me about coming. And I went to prayer, and the Lord gave me this message. I hope I'm on track tonight. If I'm not, just put it away and use it for later. Amen. But I have not, we've talked briefly on the phone for the last few months. He's been busy building a church, but we have not talked about this church, amen, at all. But I can tell everything's going good. I don't have to ask. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Amen. You know, it's important in your walk with God that you stay unified with your pastor. It's important that you keep your focus, and everybody's focus would be unified. Amen. Amen. And you need to have some personal focus. Amen. And stay focused, because the devil, he'll try to mess up your focus. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse 13. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." He departed from him for a season. Everybody say season. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight from this little thought that the Lord gave me today, and that is overcoming satanic distractions. Overcoming satanic distractions. Would you lift up your hands and let's pray together and ask God to come into this building tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we thank you, God, we thank you, God, we thank you, God. God, I'm asking you to speak through me. Let me help somebody, God. Let me help this church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. In John, the 10th chapter and 10th verse, a very familiar verse of scripture, the Bible said that the thief cometh not but for to steal. Everybody say steal. Has anybody ever had the devil to steal anything from you? And to kill. Amen. It's his desires. He'd kill every one of us if he could. Amen. And I'll tell you what else he'll do. He'll try to kill your desire to live for God. Amen. He'll try to make your life so miserable, amen, that it would kill the desire in you. Scripture goes on to say, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I preached a message one time. I may have preached it here. I don't know. But I preached a message and I titled it, Unfiltered Truth. Unfiltered Truth. You know, we're living in a day where even in Pentecost, preachers are wanting to keep it positive. And I believe in keeping it positive. I believe in speaking faith. Amen. I believe we need to have faith. We need to exercise our faith. Faith without works is dead. Amen. I believe in all of that, but I want to tell you tonight, I also believe in speaking the full truth. Amen. I believe in telling the whole counsel of God. And when we speak full truth, it don't always come across positive. But I promise you, if we'll just go ahead and speak it, it has positive results. Amen. Amen. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. It don't matter if part of it's negative. It don't matter if it's full of faith. If it's truth, it'll set you free. If it's truth, it'll take the cigarettes out of your pocket. If it's truth, it'll break the chains in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. But the truth is tonight, and the little negative twist I'm going to have to put on this service tonight is that we have an adversary. Has anybody figured out you got an adversary? Don't take long, does it? You come in here and get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God may shield you and shelter you for a while. But as soon as he lifts that wall off of you, brother, there is a devil that is ruthless. He's heartless. He don't care about any of us. He don't care how he destroys. He wants to steal all of the happiness out of your life. He come to steal, kill, and destroy, the scripture said. But the truth is that if we're going to have abundant life, like Jesus said, we've got to learn how to resist satanic distractions. Just satanic distraction. Boy, I can feel the unity in this church right now. I like what I'm feeling. It feels like everybody's pushing in the same direction. Brother, there's something explosive when you get unity in a church and you get people praying and talking in tongues and renewing themselves in the Holy Ghost. Woo! I said it's a powerful, powerful experience. But have you ever noticed when you really set out to do something for God? Amen. And you try to consecrate and get closer to God, and you make an effort to do something for the Lord. Oh, it just seems like some kind of distraction will stick its head up. The devil, he's watching and he's studying us, and he's looking for a weak place to come into the church. He's looking for a weak place in your life. Well, glory. He's looking for a weakness. And man, everything can be going good and everybody seems focused and the church seems focused and it's moving forward. And all of a sudden, something crazy happens. I don't guess we have ever had a lengthy revival in Guy that it didn't manifest some kind of sin, Brother Most, that I didn't even realize was sitting there. You get a move of God going and you get people to praying and fasting and everybody focused, the devil can't stand it. Brother, he's got to try to get in the midst of it and try to stop it and try to mess it up. But I got news for him. We're going to outsmart him tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to learn how to keep the victory. Brother, there's been times when I'm telling you we're having the greatest move of God that we've ever had, and something just crazy spring up in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, the Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Have you ever noticed when you consecrate, you can go on a fast and be on a 3-day fast and you'll start having temptations in your flesh. Now let me tell you, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. But it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Amen. Jesus was on a fast. The devil said, hey, why don't you make those stones bread? I promise you, it was a temptation because he could have done just that if he wanted to. He could have turned it into a T-bone steak if he decided to. He had the power to do it. Sometimes we'll be going along good and consecrating and getting close to God. And man, all of a sudden the devil will put some feeling that was in your heart years ago. You got your feelings hurt and got a little bitter feeling, and he'll bring that thing and flaunt it in your face and say, do you remember what that man did to you? Do you remember what that lady said about you? And then he'll try to pull you off focus and try to sidetrack you. You know what it is? It's a distraction from hell. The devil sees you getting too close to victory. The devil sees your prayers fixing to be answered. The devil sees your lost loved one is fixing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he wants to distract you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you make that stone bread, Jesus? Boy, I like what Jesus said. He said, get behind me. Well, I was looking at that today. Amen. What did Paul say? Paul said, I don't find any benefit in looking behind. You know what somebody today needs to tell the devil? Hey, get behind me. You're not in my future anymore. You're not in my future. You're in the past. Get behind me, devil. You're not in my life anymore. You don't have any say-so. You don't have any chains on me. Matthew 12 and 43. You know, the devil, he never gives up. I'm not here trying to brag on him, but I'm telling you a little truth tonight. The devil's not ever going to give up on us. Matthew 12 and 43 says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return. Everything going good in your life? Everything pleasant? You having good prayer? Seem like you're not in a trial? Man, rejoice about that. Because there will come a time when he's been gone for a season, Brother Most, but he will return. Amen. He will return. You want me to tell you the full truth tonight? He's coming back. He's going to try your door again, and you've got to know what to do when he comes back. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, let me just stop right there. The devil, for sure, is going to come back. He's for sure going to return. But he should never find our house empty and swept and garnished. But when he comes and checks on your door, he ought to find a saint that's full of the Holy Ghost. He ought to find somebody that is full of victory and full of faith to where you can speak to him and say, get out of here, devil, you're in my past. Hallelujah, you're in my past, devil. Hallelujah. No more influence in my life. In Luke 4 and 13, Scripture says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, read this as my text, he departed from him for a season. You know what? The devil departs for a season, and then he brings back a season of temptation. Hallelujah. He always brings back that season of temptation. So we got to know, the scripture said to know the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 and 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, the whole protection, the whole suit, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't leave us unprotected. He's got you covered tonight. You're being tempted. Don't feel like you're going to fall. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell him, say, hey, devil, I'm protected. Scripture goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that tells me that the devil's got a lot of power. But guess what? The Bible said greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He may have a little bit of power But it is nothing against the power of God. You need to remember, God tells him when he can go and when he can stay. Sometimes we give the devil too much credit. And I'm going to tell you, God's got his thumb on him. You're God's child. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're feeling. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to empower you to come out of this temptation victorious. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. I want to tell you something. You need to stay focused on the truth. Amen. You need to stay focused on the truth. Amen. I get disturbed sometimes. People, they want to do these in-depth studies on all this weird stuff. Boy, I'm going to tell you what you need to study. You need to study one God. Jesus' name, baptism. Infilling of the Holy Ghost. Consistent prayer and fasting. Worship and praise. Study on how to give to the kingdom of God. You don't need all that weird stuff. Stay focused on truth. Hallelujah. Scripture says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what that's talking about? Just good Christian character. You know what that breastplate is? It's just that integrity that you have with God. That when the devil comes and tempts you, you say, not me, devil. I'm worried about what God thinks about me. I've got integrity within myself. You know, character is how others view you. They view your actions. But integrity is how you view yourself. And when the devil's trying to tempt you, you need to get that breastplate of righteousness and say, hey, devil, I'm not for sale. Hallelujah, I'm not listening to your voice. I'm focused with my church. I'm focused with my pastor. Hallelujah. I'm not going to listen to no nonsense from nobody. I'm not going to let a disgruntled church member affect me. I'm not going to let a backslider whisper in my ear how bad the pastor in the church is. But when you come around, devil, I got a surprise for you. I'm going to let you know how much I love my church and love my man of God and love my brothers and sisters. Woo! And I'm going to stand with it. I'm going to protect it. And I'm going to keep my armor on where you can't touch me. Goes on to say, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Woo! You know, when the devil's tempting you, you need that shield of faith. Hallelujah. What Jesus say? He said, you liar. He said, thou savorest not the things of God. Hallelujah. You know what? Next time the devil comes your way trying to get you to do something, young people, that you know God ain't pleased with, hey, amen, you ought to just stand up in the devil's face and say, hey, devil, God's going to give me victory over you right now. I'm not falling. I'm not giving in. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint that's full of the Holy Ghost. Get back behind me, Satan. You're in my past. Hallelujah. 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 But let me tell you, can I warn this church? Can I just talk? Will y'all give me about 10 more minutes? I'm about through. Let me tell you something. I feel this man, I feel something special here, Brother Motes. Something's about to blow wide open in Hot Springs. I feel it. I feel like some pews are going to start filling up. Amen. God's going to give you some new brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. The devil is not going to allow you to come in here and have all this victory and all this focus without trying to hinder and without trying to distract. So I feel this. I felt this today in prayer. I want to help somebody today. Let me tell you one way the devil distracts people. I've had it to happen to me. If you'd be honest, you've had it to happen with you. You know one of the biggest tricks of the devil? He attacks people's minds. And he attacks their thoughts. And there's this little thing called vain imagination. Anybody ever dealt with that? I have. Man, I've been in the pulpit before and somebody, man, they might have a pain in their ear or something and make a frown face. And I think, well, man, they're mad at me. And then they come up to me after church, Brother Mo, say, Brother Blakely, that was the best message I've ever heard. I thought, huh? I thought you was mad. Because I read their expression. That's vain imagination. Preachers are not exempt from that. And you know what? If you're not careful, you can come in here, and I'm telling you, vain a spirit. It's a spirit, Brother Motes, that tries to sidetrack people. It's a satanic distraction. Well, I'm telling you, you know what? The devil will get in people's mind, and he'll honestly tell you that your man of God is against you. He'll tell you that your man of God don't even want you here. Is anybody here brave enough to tell the devil that you're a liar, Satan? My man of God loves me. Not only does he want me here, but he needs me here. You ladies, if you ain't careful. And Sister Motes, as sweet and nice as she is, she can get so busy, amen, that she may be on a mission to do something for her husband or something else and accidentally walk by you and not make eye contact and not speak. And then you get all offended and say, huh, what's wrong with her? I mean, my Lord, she stuck up. She didn't even speak to me. Yeah, everybody's laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. And that old vain imagination. And I'll tell you what, it really gets dangerous is when you start letting it play with your mind and the devil starts telling you stuff and then you start telling your friends, you know, Sister May and Sister Mo, she didn't even speak to me. Let me tell you what, dude. Don't tell your friend. Just when it comes to you and the devil tells you that lie, you think they're going to go to all this trouble to build this church, put this beautiful carpet down, hang this beautiful trim to try to run somebody off? Come on, they're trying to build a church. They're trying to take people to heaven. They're not against you. They love you. They want you to be part of this church. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I feel it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Blakely, we don't have battles like that in Hot Springs. Yes, you do. If you got people, you got them. Hey, I'm telling you, the devil, it's a spirit. I'm pulling the cover off of the devil for somebody tonight. That thing that you've been feeling, that insecurity that you're feeling, that my pastor just don't love me like he loves the rest of the saints, that's a lie from the pits of hell. You know what you need to do? I feel in the Holy Ghost. You're starting to distance yourself from your pastor. You don't need to do that. You need to get as close as you can get. Hey, pastors, there's something I can do to strengthen the kingdom of God in Hot Springs. I'm not going to distance myself. I'm going to get closer. My. Hallelujah. That's reading the scriptures that put on the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. Put on the helmet. Put on the helmet. Come on, guard your mind. Guard your thinking. Quit allowing the devil to put that negative thought in your mind. Quit allowing Satan to try to put division between you and your man of God. Between you and your brother and sister. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen right in our church at Guy. Somebody be on this side of the church and somebody be on that side of the church. And maybe they had a little friction at one time. And then somebody just reaches over and whispers to somebody else. And the one on the other side of the church said, they're talking about me. I guess they had bionic ears. They're talking about me. I know they're talking about me. They're talking about me. You know, no, they're not talking about you. The devil's talking to you. The devil has got a satanic distraction that he's dangling before you, trying to get you to take the bait. They're not even thinking about you. They don't even have you on their mind. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, you know what I feel? Somebody's going to go home with a victory tonight. Hey, listen, relax. We're not going to make you come and repent to your pastor. He understands vain imagination. Amen. All he wants you to do is just take care of it. Get the devil out of the house. Get the devil out of the mind. You know what you need to do this next week? You need to contact your pastor. Say, hey, pastor, is there anything I can do to help get ready for this service? Anything I can do? Anything you need me to pick up and move or clean? Stand together. I'm just about through. You know, the Lord blessed us recently, Brother Motes. My son, he took the church about 6-7 years ago, and he has done an outstanding job with it. And I'm thankful it's growing, and we're about to outgrow our building, and I'm excited about it. Thankful for it. And so we have got a major problem with Sunday school classes and enough facility. And we got a fellowship hall, and they're back and forth from the sanctuary to the fellowship hall, and we're making do. We got a Christian school. My wife's over the Christian school, and they got about 30, 31, 32 students, and we need more facility bad. Well, God just opened up a door. There was a place 2 miles down the road, and they called it the castle. Called it the castle, and it looks like something from Branson. It looks like a castle on the front of this metal building, and it's a 10,500 square foot building. And God, sometime I'll come and tell the miracles attached to it, but God, the local denominational church tried to buy it. They offered them way more money than we did, and God gave it to us a lot cheaper. Amen, and I thank God for it. And we're going to possibly put our school down there. We've got enough room for a gym. Man, we got so much room, we don't know what we're going to do with it. But we got it. And God give it to us. But let me tell you the other side of that. Since we've signed the papers on that building, the devil's been sending us some distractions, Brother Motes. Whew. Man, I'm talking about people that's never had trouble getting along with anybody. We had two people to get crossed up over a business deal. Let me tell you something about them business deals. You sure better get the blessing of your pastor before you go doing too much business. Because something about us saints, we just all expect too much out of each other. But you gotta let him worry about that. Amen. Man, I'm talking about good, solid saints getting upset at each other. Thank little fires started breaking out in the church. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Little gossips and little things. And man, I'm talking about, and I told my son, he said, Dad, what? Man, I can't believe this is even. I said, I can believe it's happened. I built a church one time. I said, it's the devil, son. It's just the devil trying to get it. Ignore it. I said, just ignore it. Get up and preach the gospel to it. Get up and talk about revival. Had a man that, son, I don't, you know, you ever had a shimmy eye? You know who shimmy eye was? He's the one throwing rocks at David. Well, God's kind of given me a shimmy eye here lately, Brother Motes. And I've been having to examine my spirit because my flesh would like to choke shimmy eye. Amen. But I can't choke shimmy eye. I got to pray for shimmy eye. And I got to have a right spirit towards shimmy eye. And I'm going to have a right spirit towards shimmy eye. But I'm going to tell you, the devil will put a shimmy eye in your life to try to sidetrack you from revival. He'll try to sidetrack. You know, I feel right now there's people in this building that could operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but the devil sees that on you, and he's trying with everything within his power to sidetrack you from it and make you feel unworthy of it. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm quitting. I'm done. Play something where it sounds like I'm quitting. That's pretty good. I've told a story here before, and I'm going to close with this. I told a story about Tiger Woods. Anybody remember me telling that? Maybe I didn't tell it here. Tiger Woods was 12 years old. He's one of the greatest golfers ever. He was 12 years old, and his daddy was his coach. And his daddy said that Tiger Woods, he could knock the cover off of a golf ball and put it anywhere he wanted. He could chip, he could putt, he could do it all. He said, but Tiger had one major problem, and that was he was easily distracted. He could be in the midst of a backswing and somebody cough and it would just throw him off and he'd make a bad shot. His dad noticed this and he told his mother and told others. He said, Tiger has the potential to be a professional golfer someday, but I've got to break this habit. He's got to have help. So his dad started going and playing golf with him and coaching him. And he would wait until Tiger was in his backswing, forward with his far swing, and he'd kick gravel, and it'd mess him up. Dad, what are you doing? He said, son, you got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. Next time he'd be at the right there before the green, fixing the chip, and right before he'd chip, his daddy would cough real loud, and it would mess him up. Dad, you're messing up my game. He said, Tiger, stay focused. He said, we did this for a couple of months, and I made him miserable because I was trying to teach him to stay focused on the game. He said it was the day before a national youth golf tournament. And here Tiger's 12 years old. He's playing against 16, 17, 18-year-olds. One of the youngest players there. The day before, he's in the driver box, whatever it's called, and he's in the backswing. And right as he starts his foreswing, his dad takes his golf bag and throws it right up next to Tiger. And he said he never flinched. He come through and he made the furthest drive he had ever made. He said, it was that day that I knew I had a world-class golfer on my hand. And he went the next day and won that golf tournament. What are you trying to say, Brother Blakely? I'm saying it's important that we keep our faith focused tonight. It's important that you link with this man of God. You know what, God? This is your voice tonight for direction for this church as a whole. And brother, if you'll learn to just unify with him and say, I ain't gonna let nothing. You know what happens in a church sometimes? He'll make a decision and somebody says, well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You know what? Hey, man, your disagreement's breaking the unity of this church. You're distracting the whole congregation when you don't agree. You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, you got the liberty to say, you know, that may not be the way I do it, but if that's the way Brother Moats wants to do it, I'm behind it. Come on, why don't we lift up our hands right now and say, God, don't let me be distracted. Help me to stay unified, God. Let me stay unified in the Spirit. Help me, God, to stay full of the Holy Ghost and focused in Jesus' name.
Come on, why don't we all come gather around this front? Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Let's come talk to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word tonight, God. Thank you for talking to us. Thank you for examining us, God. Oh, I want to be right. I want to be right, God. Yeah, 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 yeah